doing final readings. This will be our last orbit. Spock, any answers?
Still read a suggestion of carbon cycle life forms on the planet's surface, Captain.
Which is scientifically impossible under conditions there.
Agreed. Mr. Sulu, switch to the planet area I have under observation.
I'm reading it now, Mr. Spock. It seems to indicate artificial power being generated in factor 7 quantities.
Which would indicate a considerable civilization there.
What's all this poppycock about life forms on this planet, Spock? The surface is molten lava. The atmosphere is poisonous.
Our readings could be false, Captain. Perhaps caused by some natural phenomena.
Well, I think Starfleet should forget about those old space legends. There's no intelligent life here.
Lieutenant, anything from the planet?
I've repeatedly tried on every healing frequency, sir. There's no response on any channel.
Transmit to Starfleet our sensor readings and log entries on the planet. Surface conditions make it impossible for us to beam down and investigate further. We are therefore going on to our next assignment.
Aye, aye, sir.
Completing final orbit, sir.
Prepare to warp us out.
Alert status.
We're being scanned, Captain. A deep probe, incredibly swift.
Pleasure to make your acquaintance, sir.
Uhura.
No need to check your voice telegraph device. Do I gather that you recognize me?
I recognize what you appear to be.
And appearances can be most deceiving. But not in this case, James Kirk. I am Abraham Lincoln.
Frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its 5-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Described in many ways, Mr. Spock, but never with that word.
I was requesting your analysis, Spock.
They did scan us and our vessel, Captain, and doubtless obtained sufficient information to present this illusion.
Illusion? Captain, will you permit me to come aboard your vessel? No doubt you have devices which can check my reality.
We'd be honored to have you aboard. Mr. President.
Do you still measure time in minutes?
We can convert to it, sir.
Then, you should be directly over my position in... there. Exactly. 12.5 minutes. Until then, Captain.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Plummer.
Small change occurring there, Captain.
Magnification 4, Hal.
Aye, aye, sir. An area of approximately 1,000 square kilometers. It measures completely Earth-like.
Perfect oxygen-nitrogen atmosphere, sir.
He called it to the second, sir. We'll be over it in exactly 12 minutes now.
Security, send a detachment to the transporter room immediately, face his side arms, and be prepared to give presidential honors.
Jim, do you really believe he's Abraham Lincoln?
Well, it's obvious he believes him. Oh, Dr. McCoy.
Mr. Spock, full dress uniforms.
Full dress? Presidential honors? What is all this nonsense, Mr. Dickerson?
I understand President Lincoln's coming aboard, sir.
Are you daft, man?
All I know, sir, is what the captain tells me. And he says he'll have the height of the first man as so much as smiles.
I'd have expected sanity from the ship's surgeon, at least. President Lincoln, indeed. No doubt to be followed by Louis of France and Robert the Bruce.
If so, we'll execute appropriate honors to each, Mr. Scott.
Aye, sir.
Gentlemen, I don't for a moment believe that President Lincoln is actually coming aboard, but we're dealing with an unknown and apparently highly advanced life form. Until we know, when in Rome, we'll do as the Romans do.
Bridge to transporter room. 1 minute to overhead position.
Locked on to something.
Does that appear human to you, Mr. Spock?
Fascinating. For a moment, it appeared almost mineral. Like living rock with heavy foreclaws. Settling down now to completely human readings.
We can beam it aboard any time now, sir.
Dr. McCoy, take tricorder readings and see if it is human. Appropriate ruffles and flourishes, Mr. Spock. Security, stand ready.
Phaser team, set ready for a heavy stun.
Band honors ready, Captain.
Energize. USS Enterprise is honored to have you aboard, Mr. President.
Strange. Where are the musicians?
That's taped music, sir. A starship on active duty never carries an honor detachment.
Taped music, you say? Well, perhaps Mr. Spock will be good enough to explain that to me later. A most interesting way to come aboard, Captain. What was the device used?
An energy matter scrambler, sir. The molecules in your body are converted into energy, then beamed into this chamber and reconverted back into their original pattern.
Well, since I am obviously here and quite whole, whatever you mean apparently works very well indeed. Gentlemen, if those are weapons, please lower them. At my age, I'm afraid I'm not very dangerous.
Human, Jim.
All too human, Dr. McCoy. Happy to make your acquaintance, sir.
Mr. President, may I present my officers? Commander Spock, second in command. Engineering Officer Scott. And Security Officer Dickerson.
Mr. Spock, Mr. Scott, Mr. Dickerson. Gentlemen, I hope to talk to each of you. But meanwhile, your captain is consumed with questions, and I shall do my utmost to answer them. And I trust your duties will permit time to answer some of mine. At your service, Captain.
Lieutenant Dickerson, you and your men may return to quarters.
Mr. President.
A most interesting vessel.
Just what was it you locked onto before you beamed him aboard?
You heard Mr. Spock yourself. Mineral, he called it. Like living rock.
And that became Lincoln?
I couldn't tell. May have been another figure down there standing by. What do you make of it?
I'm not quite sure.
Captain's log, stardate 5906.4. Who or what has been beamed aboard our vessel? An alien who has changed himself into this form, an illusion? I cannot conceive it possible that Abraham Lincoln could have actually been reincarnated. And yet, his kindness, his gentle wisdom, his humor, everything about him is so right.
Yes, if I recall, your Union Army observation balloons were tendered 600 or so feet high.
We're 643 miles above the surface of this planet.
You can measure great distances that closely.
We do, sir. 643 miles, 2,021 feet, 2.04 inches at this moment, using your old style measurements.
Bless me.
Excuse me, Captain Kirk.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Scott.
What a charming negress. Oh, forgive me, my dear. I know that in my time some use that term as a description of property.
But why should I object to that term, sir? You see, in our century, we've learned not to fear words.
May I present our communications officer, Lieutenant Uhura?
The foolishness of my century had me apologizing where no offense was given.
We've each learned to be delighted with what we are. The Vulcans learned that centuries before we did.
It is basic to the Vulcan philosophy, sir. The combination of a number of things to make existence worthwhile.
Yes. Philosophy of Nome, meaning all. How did I know that? Just as I seem to know that on the planet's surface, you will meet one of the greatest living Vulcans in all the long history of your planet. My mind cannot recall his name. But I know he will be there. What is it that powers your vessel, Captain? May I see your engine room?
Certainly. Our engineering officer is...
has been waiting in the briefing room for you, sir, for over 2 hours.
Oh, dear. If you'll forgive me, our communications officer...
I would be delighted to have her as guide.
Forgive me again. We'll rejoin you shortly.
Where the devil are they?
Why, they're probably looking up a plate of haggis in the galley. They've been everywhere else.
Sorry to have been delayed, gentlemen.
Jim, I would be the last to advise you on your command image.
I shot that bone, but continue.
Well, do I have to lay it out for you? Practically, the entire crew has seen you treat this imposter like the real thing when he can't possibly be the real article.
Lincoln died 3 centuries ago on a planet hundreds of light years away.
More that direction, Engineer.
You're the science officer. Why aren't you, well, doing whatever a science officer does at a time like this?
I am, Doctor. I am observing the alien.
Well, at least somebody agrees with us. He's an alien.
Yes, of course he's an alien.
And he's potentially dangerous.
Bad. Looney is an Arcturian dogbird.
Gentlemen, as you know, Mr. Spock and I have been invited to beam down to the planet's surface with him. Any comments on that?
Yes, a big one. Suddenly, miraculously, we see a small spot of Earth-type environment down there. Now, is it really there? Or do we just think we see it down there?
You might beam down into a sea of molten lava.
But why would he want to kill only 2 of us?
It would be illogical. With such abilities, they could as easily trick us into destroying the entire vessel.
Are you implying, Mr. Spock, that it's probably safe to beam down there?
No, I'm not, Doctor. There's no doubt they want us down there for some hidden purpose. Otherwise, they would have revealed some logical reason for all of this.
Why Lincoln, Spock? Any speculation on that?
Speculation is unnecessary, Captain. The answer is clear. President Lincoln has always been a very personal hero to you. What better way to titillate your curiosity than to make him come alive for you? Not only to me, Spock.
Agreed. I, too, experienced his charm. It is a magnificent work of duplication.
But he holds a special involvement to you, Jim. And I think it's interesting, inasmuch as you're the one who's going to make the decision whether to beam down or not.
Don't do it, Captain.
The very reason for the existence of our starships is contact with other life. Although the method is beyond our comprehension, we have been offered contact. Therefore,
I shall beam down. Mr. Spock is for you.
Captain, since I was included in the invitation to make contact, I must beam down with you.
You're both out of your head.
Aye, sir.
And you're on the edge of insubordination.
Would I be on the edge of insubordination to remind the captain that this smells of something happening to him that I might not be able to patch back together again?
Aye.
Gentlemen, your concern is noted and appreciated. Mr. Spock, standard dress, tricorders, and phasers. We will guide President Lincoln to the transporter room. We'll beam down immediately.
Standing by, Mr. Scott.
Transporter room to bridge, standing by.
We are now locked in synchronous orbit, Mr. Scott. Sensors continue to show the area as completely Earth-like in all respects.
If they're wrong, they do beam into a pool of lava.
Then they're dead men. I couldn't have pulled them back in time.
All right, Mr. Scott, energize.
Phasers and tricorders did not beam down with us.
Kirk to Enterprise. Enterprise. Enterprise, come in. Kirk to Enterprise. Enterprise, come in.
Undamaged. Yet something is preventing them from functioning.
Come in, landing party. Report. Enterprise to Captain Kirk. Can you read us?
If they're all right, they should have reported in.
Your explanation, sir?
Well, I have none. To me, this seems quite as it should be.
Why were our weapons taken? Why can't we communicate with our ship?
Please, believe me. I know nothing other than what I already told you.
The game is over. We've treated you with courtesy. We've gone along with what and who you think you are.
Despite the seeming contradictions, all is as it appears to be. I am Abraham Lincoln.
Just as I am whom I appear to be.
Serac. Who?
Greatest of all who ever lived on our planet, Captain. The father of all we became.
All ship system going dead. Switch to reserve power. All decks report status.
All decks report status. All decks report status.
Bridge engineering. Come in. What's happening to our power? Bridge engineering. Report.
Everything's out. We've switched to reserve power. We've lost all power in the warp engines.
How is it, Mr. Sulu? No answer yet on what caused it. They're standing by. Shut down all but the most necessary systems.
No damage report, Mr. Scott.
No indication of engine damage, sir.
Engage restart cycle.
I can't. I don't understand.
Start emergency procedures.
Aye, aye, sir.
Live long and prosper, Spock. May you also, Captain Kirk.
It is not logical that you are Serac. There is no fact, extrapolation of fact or theory, which would make possible...
Whatever I am, would it harm you to give response?
Live long and prosper. Image of Serac. Father of all we now hold true. The image of Surak read in your face. What is in your mind, Spock?
As I turned and my eyes beheld you, I displayed emotion. I beg forgiveness.
The cause was more than sufficient. Let us speak no further of it. In my time, we knew naught of Earthmen. I am pleased to see that we have differences. May we together become greater than the sum of both of us.
Spock, we'll not go along with these charades any longer.
You'll have an answer soon, Captain. Excalibur. Countless who live on that planet are watching. Before this drama unfolds, we give welcome to the ones named Kirk and Spock.
We know nothing of your world or your customs. What do you mean? Drama about to unfold.
Your intelligent life form? I'm surprised you do not perceive the honor we do you. Have we not created in this place on our planet a stage identical to your own world?
We perceive that we were invited to come down here, and we came in friendship. And you have deprived us of our instruments to examine your world, to defend ourselves, to communicate with our vessel.
Your objection is well taken. We shall communicate with your vessel so that your fellow life forms may also enjoy and profit from the play. Behold. Captain, Mr. Spock, some of these you may know through history. Genghis Khan, for one. And Colonel Green, who led a genocidal war early in the 21st century on Earth. Zora, who experimented with the body chemistry of subject tribes on Tiburon. Kalis, the unforgettable. The Klingon who set the pattern for his planet's tyrannies. We welcome the vessel Enterprise to our solar system and to our spectacle.
Well, at least the captain and Spock are safe.
It's a confrontation of some sort. Those are all figures out of history. Notoriously evil.
We ask you to observe with us the confrontation of the two opposing philosophies you term good and evil. Since this is our first experiment with Earthlings, our theme is a simple one. Survival. Life and death. Your philosophies are alien to us. We wish to understand them and discover which is the stronger. We learn by observing such spectacles.
What do you mean, survival?
The word is explicit. If you and Spock survive, you return to your vessel. If you do not, your existence is ended.
We beam the captain and Spock back up.
We don't have the power. They'll come aboard a mass of dying flesh.
Well, can we send the phasers down?
There's nothing we can do, Doctor. Nothing but watch them. He skimmed the worst ones in history to face them.
But they're not real. Any more than that Lincoln or Surak. What do the sensors read?
As life forms. They are living beings.
Could they be aliens projecting an illusion?
The readings are those of humanoids.
Why do you hesitate? Do you wish further clarification? Your choice of action is unlimited, as is your choice of weapons. Should you wish to use any, you may fabricate anything you desire out of what you can find around you. Captain.
Mr. Spock and I refuse to participate.
You will decide otherwise.
The
Why do they want us to fight?
It may be exactly as explained, Captain. Our concept of good and evil is strange to them. Perhaps they wish to determine which is strongest.
And they'll get their answer if it kills us.
I'm afraid none of us may leave, gentlemen, until we do what it demands of us.
Captain Kirk?
May I speak with you?
I quite agree with your attitude toward this charade.
It's ridiculous to think that we should take part in it.
What do you want?
Why, the same thing as you do, to get out of here. I have no quarrel with you any more than you have with me.
You're somewhat different than the way history paints you, Colonel Green.
History tends to exaggerate. I suggest we call a halt to this at once and see if we can't find some way out of our difficulties. My associates are in full agreement with me. Captain, you were tricked into coming here, weren't you? So were we all.
Where do you come from?
I can't remember. Isn't that strange? My memory used to be quite remarkable. Well, wherever it was, I want to get back. So it seems to me, Captain, that we have a common cause. And our enemy is that creature.
What do you propose?
That we combine forces and reason some way to overcome it.
You were notorious, Colonel Green, for striking at your enemies in the midst of negotiating with them.
But that was centuries ago, Captain, and not altogether true. No, there's much I would change now if I could. Don't let prejudice and rumor sway you.
Captain. How can we warn him?
My clothing is somewhat damaged, but how delightful to discover at my age that I can still wrestle.
Mr. Spock?
All right, Captain. However, I suggest that we prepare ourselves for another attack.
No. I think Colonel Green is right. That rock-like thing is our enemy, not those illusions.
For an illusion, my opponent carried a considerable punch. Oh, I forgot. You consider me an illusion, too.
The Captain speaks wisely. Those four are not our enemy. We should arrive together at a peaceful settlement.
I am disappointed. You display no interest in the honor we do you. We offer you an opportunity to become our teachers by demonstrating whether good or evil is more powerful.
Oh!
You find my body heat distressing, Captain. You forget the nature of this planet. I must conclude that your species requires a cause to fight for. You may now communicate with your ship.
Kirk to Enterprise.
Enterprise. Come in.
Spot to engineering. Report, Lieutenant.
Emergency increasing, sir. Deterioration has just started, sir.
Give me that again, man. I cannot hear you.
Mr. Scott, I have the captain.
Scotty, do you read me?
Lieutenant. Mr. Scott, I have the captain.
Engineering, check for radiation. Get a repair crew on it at once.
I have already, sir. We can't seem to stop it.
Is there a danger of detonation?
Estimating 4 hours, sir.
Red alert, Captain. Mr. Scott is standing by.
What caused the red alert?
I don't know yet, sir.
Captain.
Scotty, beam us up fast.
Lieutenant, we have a complete power failure. We're on emergency battery power only.
What happened?
I can't explain it, sir. But the matter and antimatter are in red zone proximity.
What caused that?
There's no knowing, and there's no stopping it either. The shielding is breaking down, and I estimate 4 hours before it goes completely. 4 hours before the ship blows up.
The estimate is quite correct. Your ship will blow itself to bits within 4 hours, Captain. Unless you defeat the others before then. Is that cause enough to fight for?
What if they defeat us?
To save your ship and your crew, you have to win.
Scotty, inform Starfleet Command. Disengage nacelles, jettison if possible. Mr. Spock, assist them. Advise and analyze. Scotty?
Your communicators no longer function, Captain. You may proceed with the spectacle.
James, the war is forced upon us. History repeats itself.
Supplemental log, stardate 5906.5. Engineer Scott reporting. The Enterprise is doomed to explode in 2 hours if Captain Kirk is defeated by the enemy on the surface of the planet. The enormous power of the Enterprise has been neutralized, and we sit here watching, unable to assist.
Did you set the traps?
Yes.
What'd you find out? What are they doing?
They've done nothing. They've not armed themselves nor prepared for any kind of defense. I say attack now and finish them.
With what, these?
Better than what they have.
No. It's not advantage enough. I want to make sure the odds are in our favor. Overwhelm and devastate. That's the way to get power and to hold it, and I mean to do that.
There's nothing immoral about fighting an illusion, Mr. Spock. You play their game, fight. We lose the ship and all the crewmen aboard.
And if they're real, Captain?
We'll use this as a base. It's defensible. They can't approach without being seen.
Are we fighting a defensive war, James?
No, we don't have time. But if things do go against us, I want a place to retreat to. What I want to do now is scout them out, find their weaknesses, and attack.
Do you drink whiskey?
Occasionally, why?
Because you have qualities very much like those of another man I admired greatly, General Grant.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Spock, we'll need weapons. I believe the ancient Vulcans made something like a boomerang.
Yes, Captain.
And slings and spears. Slings. Mr. President, you used a sling as a boy.
Indeed, I did.
Captain, logic dictates that we consider another course.
We don't have much time, Spock.
In my time on Vulcan, we also faced these same alternatives. We'd suffered devastating wars which nearly destroyed our planet. Another was about to begin. We were torn. But out of our suffering, some of us found the discipline to act. We sent emissaries to our opponents to propose peace. The first were killed, but others followed. Ultimately, we achieved peace, which has lasted since then.
Circumstances were different then, Sirach.
The face of war has never changed, Captain. Surely it is more logical to heal than kill?
I'm afraid that kind of logic doesn't apply here.
That is precisely why we should not fight.
My ship is at stake.
I will not harm others, Captain.
His convictions are most profound in this matter, Captain.
So are mine, Spock. If I believed that there was a peaceful way out of this...
The risk will be mine alone. If I fail, you lose nothing. After all, I'm no warrior.
The Captain knows that I have fought at his side before, and will do so now if need be. However, I too am a Vulcan, bred to peace. Let him attempt it.
You saw how treacherously they acted.
Oh, yes. But perhaps it's our
belief in peace that is actually being tested.
I have no authority over you. You may do as you think best.
Thank you. May you live long and prosper.
The weapons, gentlemen. In case he fails.
Stop there, Vulcan. State your purpose.
I come in peace to propose peace.
Are you surrendering?
I'm doing what I consider best for all of us. If you choose to regard that as surrender, I accept your definition.
One of those peace lovers, Colonel.
Why are you doing this? Do you speak for the others?
No, I speak for myself because I abhor violence. But if you accept the solution I offer, they too will accept it.
How can I be sure? I think you're trying to trick me, Vulcan. I think that while you're here talking peace, the others are preparing to attack.
No, Colonel. They are at their base awaiting an answer.
How can I believe that? No one talks peace unless he's ready to back it up with war.
He talks peace if it is the only way to live.
Then tell me. What do you have to gain if we accept?
Nothing but the knowledge that I have done what I believe in.
And what do I get out of it? I fight for gain, Vulcan. What do I gain here?
Your life and the lives of the others. You said yourself, Colonel, that we have common cause to survive. Together we can. But not by warring.
Why don't we kill him?
No!
He's our means to finish them all.
Colonel, surely you accept the logic of this. What is your answer?
You're very persuasive, Vulcan. I'd like to come out of this with a whole skin. Perhaps I can convince my associates that it would be to their advantage also.
Your Surak is a brave man.
Men of peace usually are, Captain. On Vulcan, he is revered as the father of our civilization. The father image holds much meaning for us.
Do you show emotion, Spock?
I deeply respect what he has accomplished.
Well, I hope he accomplishes something here, and soon.
You. He seems to be hurt.
Spock! Help me, Spock! Spock! Help me!
You can't let him suffer!
They're trying to goad us into attacking, Captain. They expect us to act rashly.
Yes, I know that.
Help me, Spock!
He was aware of what might happen when he went.
I should never have let him go.
You had no choice, Captain. Could not have stopped him.
How can you ignore that?
A Vulcan would not cry out so.
Whether he's a Vulcan or not, he's in agony.
I am not insensitive to it, Captain.
Help me, Spock!
But you can just listen to it and do nothing. I can't.
That is what they're waiting for. They're waiting for us to attempt a rescue.
I can't just let him stay there.
Perhaps we can rescue him, Mr. Spock. Now, I suggest that we do whatever they want.
Do what they want, sir?
Not the way they want it, however. We must first convince them that they have provoked us to recklessness. James, I do not mean to presume upon your authority. What I propose is that I circle around to their rear while you two provide a frontal assault. It should be sufficiently violent to cover whatever I do.
What will you do?
Why, slip into their camp and free him.
No.
James. Remember, I was something of a backwoodsman. I doubt that you could do what I was bred to.
I can't let you risk it, Mr. President.
Well, I am no longer president. Mr. Spock, any comment?
Help me, Spock!
No, sir.
One matter further, gentlemen. We fight on their level with trickery, brutality, finality. We match their evil. I know, James. I was reputed to be a gentleman when I was commander-in-chief. During the four bloodiest years of my country's history, I gave orders that sent 100,000 men to their death at the hands of their brothers. There's no honorable way to kill. No gentle way to destroy. There's nothing good in war except its ending. And you are fighting for the lives of your crew.
Your campaign, Mr. President.
They should be coming soon.
How many did you see?
Two.
Zora.
Have drawn them away. We will circle around. It was a worthy effort, Zorak. Worthy. No need to blame yourself before its failure.
Help me, Spock. Help me, Spock.
Now can you cry like Lincoln?
Help me, Kirk.
Help me, Kirk.
Mr. Lincoln.
James, stay back.
survivors. The others have run off. It would seem that evil retreats when forcibly confronted. However, you have failed to demonstrate to me any other difference between your philosophies. Your good and your evil use the same methods, achieve the same results. Do you have an explanation?
You established the methods and the goals.
For you to use as you chose.
What did you offer the others if they want?
What they wanted most. Power.
You offered me the lives of my crew.
I perceive. You have won their lives.
How many others have you done this to? What gives you the right to hand out life and death?
The same right that brought you here. The need to know new things.
We came in peace.
And you may go in peace.
Kirk Enterprise, come in.
Is that you, Captain? Are you all right?
Yes, Mr. Sulu, we're all right. You may beam us aboard.
Scott, report.
The ship is functioning normally again, sir, and the restart cycle is in operation. You'd never know that anything had been out of order. I can't fathom it.
But, sir, we should be on warp power within 30 minutes, sir.
Good. Mr. Chekhov.
The deterioration in the shielding has stopped, sir, and is reversing itself. I have no explanation.
Thank you, Mr. Chekhov.
Mr. Spock, any explanation?
Conjecture, Captain, rather than explanation. Well, it would seem that we were held in the power of creatures able to control matter and to rearrange molecules in whatever fashion was desired. So they were able to create images of Surak and Lincoln after scanning our minds and using their fellow creatures as source matter.
He seems so real. And to me, especially Mr. Lincoln. I feel I actually met Lincoln.
Yes. And Surak. Perhaps, in a sense, they were real, Captain. Since they were created out of our own thoughts, how could they be anything but what we expected them to be?
It was so hard for me to see him die again. I feel I understand what Earth must have gone through to achieve final peace.
Captain Kirk, the planet has resumed its normal appearance.
There's still so much of their work to be done in the galaxy, Spock.
Mr. Sulu, break us out of orbit and continue to our next assignment.
Aye, aye, sir.